And we return. It is Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. That was kind of a fun segment with
it
Brad
was.
Meltzer.
Yes, it was.
Well, we have chef, author, and syndicated columnist, my longtime friend, Linda Gassenheimer. She's with us. Linda, you and Bonnie Berman are slim, fit, beautiful. But
what
I could sure...
What does
he want?
What does
he
want,
Linda? I know, that's what I'm thinking.
I could sure shed a few pounds, but how do I go about it? And you have the creator of one of the most famous diets with us, so tell us more.
Okay, but Joe, let me ask you a question after that wonderful compliment.
I thought you were going to say I was slim, fit, and beautiful, too.
Oh. Hey, you didn't mention me.
Okay, back to business here. You know, it seems like gluten-free has taken America by storm. So, Joe, how many products have you seen in the market that say gluten-free on
everything?
It? Everything.
Even my bag of licorice says that.
So the real question is, how many of us really need to follow a gluten-free diet? And here to give us some answers about the myths and the realities of gluten intolerance is, as you mentioned, the very famous South Beach diet doctor, Arthur Agatston. His latest research, and now a book, is on that subject. It's called The South Beach Diet Gluten Solution. Welcome, Dr. Agatston.
Great to be with you, back with you, Linda, and Bonnie and Joe.
Hi.
It's wonderful to have you. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions or comments for Dr. Agatston? Have you been struggling maybe with some gluten sensitivity? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Do we have email, Bonnie?
We do, radio@WLRN.org. We don't have Twitter, however, right now.
What's happened to Twitter?
Well, it had to do with the server.
Oh, they redid the...
Never mind, it was technical.
Okay.
Okay. But also with us, with no technical problems, is our favorite wine guy, and that's Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestion for my Dinner Minutes column that's in today's Miami Herald. And you can also read his wine column in today's Herald. Fred, are we drinking today with the doctor here?
Well, we're going to ask him if we can, basically. And I want to talk a little bit about gluten and alcoholic beverages.
All right. He still has a smile on his face, so I guess it's okay.
Well, remember, I'm always allowed to say what's on the diet when. So sometimes I use that artistic freedom to... add what
oh,
I want.
You get to be the boss. That works out nicely.
Right. So for you, Fred, if I'm, you know, I can make sometimes make changes.
Only for you, Fred, okay?
Appreciate it.
Okay, Dr. Arthur Agatston, from the South Beach Diet to Gluten Solution. What made you turn to researching this particular subject?
Well, it's funny, Linda, you know, originally I was sometimes called the accidental diet doctor. I was and am a full-time practicing cardiologist. And we first realized low fat was not the answer to everything. It was good fats and good carbs, lean
right.
source of protein, mm-hmm. plenty of fiber. And we created the diet with a first phase, which was free, intentionally free of all grains.
This was the South Beach
wheat,
diet.
The South Beach
right.
diet.
Mm-hmm.
And
the first phase, though, is,
just
right?
the first phase. And it was intentionally free of grains, which meant it was unintentionally free of gluten. Now, I had no idea what gluten was at the time. But over the last 5 to 10 years, for one thing, we always noticed that patients or dieters on the first phase, they felt great. They'd have big bursts of energy. They sometimes didn't want to go on the second phase. We just thought it was a fast weight loss. But we also saw things like psoriasis, juvenile arthritis, other problems clearing up. And while mm-hmm. I was very happy to take credit, I really didn't know what was going on. Eventually, as gluten literature came, and the big gluten problem is celiac disease, and that's about 1 in 100 in the population, and that's severe. But we never had our patients strict gluten-free. We just said, don't eat wheat. And we still saw all these amazing results. I eventually realized it was gluten, and that I would bet about half of your listeners out there right now have some problem, weakness, headaches, arthritic pains, that end up to be associated with gluten and would feel much better off it.
And what is celiac disease?
Celiac is an extreme intolerance to gluten. You know, gluten is a protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. And celiac disease has been known from antiquity. The gluten is toxic to your small intestine. You can't absorb foods, and you often become now malnourished, waste away. And it was known from antiquity, but it wasn't known that it was due to wheat until the 1940s, that it was due to gluten until the 1950s. They eventually diagnosed it with biopsies, but it was only easy to do that when they started the endoscopes in 1970s.
Well, you talk about antiquities, but whatever happened to the staff of life?
The staff of life was, we didn't originally... The gluten that we had and the way it was prepared, we fermented foods before we baked them. We also didn't take a lot of antibiotics. We didn't have a lot of preservatives. And it turns out that bacteria in our guts help us digest many of our foods, including gluten.
What about sourdough bread?
Sourdough bread is tolerated better by those who have gluten sensitivity.
Well, this is an interesting thing that you've mentioned, because in your book, The Gluten Solution, you mentioned that antibiotics, preservatives, drugs like ibuprofen or aspirin might be contributing to this huge increase in, let's call it, gluten awareness or gluten sensitivity.
Absolutely, because the question Joe asked, everybody says, haven't we been having gluten forever, and why is everybody all of a sudden sick wheat and gluten?
Right, exactly.
Does it have something to do with GMO, being genetically modified?
No, wheat is not, GMO wheat is not available. What has been done, and people said, because wheat has been hybridized differently and is grown differently, that may have some impact, but we don't think much. We think it's because when you ferment, traditionally did baked goods and fermented it over hours, it pre-digested the gluten. Hmm. The big problem with gluten compared to proteins that are in rice, in steak, is it's hard to digest. And the bacteria help us digest it. So when we don't use the bacteria in preparing, when we kill bacteria with preservatives, and when we have an unprecedented amount of antibiotics that we've been doing over the last 20 years, we're killing off the healthy bacteria in our guts. And that has a big impact. Right. And we're also having more processed carbohydrate, more processed wheat than ever before.
The processing. So you mentioned in the book that we should be gluten aware, not gluten phobic. So what do you mean by that?
Well, if you have celiac disease, and they're a simple blood test to screen, and then you end up, you do a biopsy of the small intestine, it's not that bad to find out if you have celiac. If you have celiac, it's not an allergy, it's a severe sensitivity, but it's as if you had a nut sensitivity. You really have to stay away from it completely. You do have to be gluten phobic. But if you just have gluten sensitivity, and that varies as a big spectrum.
Now, how would you know if you had this?
The only way, there is no test for gluten sensitivity. That's why we wrote the Gluten Solution. And we think almost everybody should try at least a month off gluten to see how they feel. One extreme is somebody like Djokovic, the tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't win 5-set matches. He was a great player. He wasn't sick, but he didn't quite have the focus, the energy to beat Nadal and Federer in 5-set matches. He went off gluten. He beat them. Then he told his friend Andy Murray about it. Murray went off gluten, and became
one
number
Wimbledon.
One and two in the
one
world.
Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Okay.
One Wimbledon.
Well, if you'd like to join us with some questions for Dr. Arthur Agatston, give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. If you have any gluten-aware, gluten-phobic, gluten-solution questions.
I have a question. When you're saying this biopsy of the small intestine to determine if you have it, so
yes.
The blood test won't determine it alone?
The blood test alone gives you a good idea, but the definitive test is the small bowel biopsy. And again, it's 1 in 100 Americans about who have it. We used to think it was 1 in 10,000 till the blood test became available. And we also realized everybody thought it was just a stomach problem. Now we realize it's associated with arthritis and headaches and many thyroid problems.
When you say Americans, one in 100, how does this compare to other countries?
It's a little bit different, but it's very similar in Northern Europe. And in Asia, they just have a lot less gluten because their staple is rice. So you see a lot less of that. Hmm.
So rice is okay. What are some foods that we wouldn't think have gluten in them but do have it?
Yeah, and that is very important. If you have celiac disease, you have to worry about hidden sources.
Before you give that answer, I just want to say that it surprised me that there was no, until just recently, the FDA had no requirements as to, you could put gluten-free on anything, and there was no law about this.
Right.
And now there is.
They just came out just a few months ago.
22 parts per million. But go ahead, sorry.
Oh, soy sauce, of course, beer is made with hops, is made with grains.
Barley, yeah.
But it's used as a filler in many things, in deli meats. It's sometimes yogurt, sometimes yellow mustard, even my favorite, I'm a known chocoholic, but in some chocolate, because gluten is very viscous. It's added to toothpaste and lipstick. You have to worry about that if you have celiac disease. If you're only gluten sensitive, it depends on your level of sensitivity, and you have to see where you
fall. How you eat, in other words, take all the gluten out and then sort of slowly give it back into your body to see how you're affected.
Yes, and that's what we guide you to in the South Beach Gluten Solution book, how to do that and how to learn. Hopefully there'll be a blood test in the next years, but right now we're really not close. Right.
And how do you know if it's in chocolate?
If it mentions any starch or any fillers, it's likely that the fillers are made with gluten.
We have one phone call coming in here that we can get at this time. Phil, you're on the air. Phil from Miami.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
I was calling just one clarification about the quantitative aspect of gluten. I've been told, and what I've read is that you either have gluten in your system or you don't, and that the amount is not as important as it not being there at all if you are sensitive. And then I'm sorry,
I'm not sure. Your question is, how much gluten should you have in your system or not have? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, what I've read is that if you're trying to be gluten-free, you need to be completely gluten-free or it exists in your system and it's not quantitative. In other words, it doesn't matter how much you have,
the national guidelines are 220 parts per million, and so they have a level. It's very hard to measure, but if you have celiac disease, you have to be a gluten detective. You have to know about chocolate and everything else. If you're gluten sensitive, then you just have to be aware of the foods. You're not measuring it in your system. You're just understanding what is hard for you. When people go off gluten and then they'll go out and have something with gluten, it may be in a salad, they'll have the croutons, and they'll be sick later and they'll realize, or they just cheat and they know. So you learn your level of gluten sensitivity, and it makes you feel lousy, but it won't be toxic to your small intestine.
Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest today is South Beach Diet Dr. Arthur Agatston. We're talking about the gluten solution. We'll take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest today is the South Beach Diet Dr. Arthur Agatston. He's been explaining the myths and the realities of gluten intolerance. And his latest book is The South Beach Diet Gluten Solution. And now I have a dinner in minutes that I hope the doctor will approve of. It's a gluten-free dinner. It's walnut-crusted tuna kebabs with an onion and pepper rice. And he's nodding his head. It sounds okay. All right. Fresh tuna cubes are coated with a crunchy walnut coating. I mix the walnuts with a little bit of apricot jam. Okay, and then that coats them, and I put them on a skewer with some zucchini and some grape tomatoes, and then we grill that. Or you can use a stovetop grill, an outdoor grill, or you could even put it under the broiler just for a few minutes because you don't want to overcook that tuna. And then for the side dish, it's really quick and easy. I use a microwavable brown rice, and he's nodding his head, but you must look at the ingredients.
Dr. Nods don't work on radio. Oh,
yes. It's all right.
I'm looking forward to comment, but I'll wait till you finish.
And I've added to that some chopped green bell pepper and onions once it's cooked. So that's Dinner in Minutes. You can find it at dinnerinminutes.com, the whole recipe and a photograph. And another quick and easy dinner is at the Miami Herald today. It's a cumin pork with a Mexican pumpkin. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at El Gassenheimer.
Right there for Halloween. With the pumpkin.
What's all this stuff about pumpkin lately? Is it gluten-free, doctor?
Yes. But it's not wheat, rye, or barley. And let me just comment. I've known Yolinda and her wonderful husband, Harold, for 15 years. And the real secret to compliance with South Beach diet with gluten is being able to cook so it's a lifestyle. And from this recipe and everything Linda does, I've seen her success in her home. And that's, you don't have to be restrictive. You can eat very, very well and very healthy. And that's what Linda
okay,
does.
Okay, doctor, you can come again. All right, let's go to Fred Tasker. Fred, can we drink today?
Well, that's what we want to find out here. I've been Googling gluten and alcoholic beverages, and I found some pretty interesting stuff. There, some drinks are gluten-free, and others have a lot of gluten in them. Now, beer is made with barley and wheat and that sort of thing, so it has a lot of gluten. There are a few relatively gluten-free beers that are made not with wheat or barley, but with sorghum, buckwheat, rice, or millet. And if you can find these, they should be gluten-free. They're a little hard to find. There's one IPA, India Pale Ale, made by Dogfish Head Brewery, which is a very popular craft brewery. And they make it with sorghum, and they advertise it as being gluten-free. Although that's just one of Dogfish Head's brews, so you have to make sure you get the right one. There's another beer called Bard's Tale that's made with sorghum, and that's not very well known. You'd have to Google to see where to buy it. And even in some cases, these are made of gluten-free products, but they're made in the same kettle as the wheat beers, so they might have tiny traces of gluten. You have to make sure they don't have over the limit that you're allowed. Now, other drinks are different. Hard cider is made from apples and brown sugar, and some of those actually announce on the label that they're gluten-free. Wine is made of grapes, so it's naturally gluten-free. And a lot of experts say that distilled alcoholic beverages, even if they're made like whiskey, if they're made with barley or something like that, they might be gluten-free because of the distillation product. Distillation process. But I think, as Dr. Agustin says, you have to be a gluten detective. And if I had celiac disease, I think I would email the brewer's customer service department and ask. They will answer questions like this quite often. But for each individual product before I would start drinking it, you only have to do it once and then you'll know forever. But Dr. Agustin, what do you think about alcohol and gluten?
Yeah, and generally, you've given a wonderful summary, and that's exactly right. Particularly beers made with barley and wheat are the ones you have to worry about. But it may be added, and if you have celiac, then you have to be again a gluten detective. If you're just gluten sensitive, then you can see how you react. And the thing about alcohol per se helps vasodilate. It dilates our vessels by producing nitric oxide. That's all good. Wine in particular has a lot of antioxidants. I mean, you hear about resveratrol, but other antioxidants that are good for us. And alcohol also delays our stomach emptying, which is good. It makes our blood sugar go up more slowly. So in moderation, alcohol, we say for women, one glass. Sorry, women, men, two glasses.
That's
a
five ounce.
is overall looking good, but there are still a lot of calories in alcohol, and people, particularly, you have their mixed drinks at night. They stop the alcohol, they lose weight.
Okay.
Yeah, quite often, if you're talking about mixed drinks, then you have to add the the club soda, not club soda so much, but a gin and tonic has 50 calories more than just the straight gin. So you have to watch out for the mixers as well.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Fred Tasker. We just have a quick half a minute left on line two.
Oops.
Line two. Maria in Miami, you had a quick question. Maria, are you
Maria,
there?
Maria, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. I heard you mention about the tennis player and his focus increasing after going on the gluten-free diet, and I wanted you to touch upon children with ADHD and gluten-free diets, and okay, I'll take my answer off
sure.
here.
Sure. My co-author is a pediatrician. She had very good success. Kids with ADHD should be tried on a gluten-free diet.
So that's a great question. And your author is Natalie Geary.
Natalie Geary, who's a wonderful pediatrician.
Right. That's terrific. So we're ready to something special today, right, Joe?
Well,
not yet.
Okay,
well,
we can
talk about Fred's wine today, a column today in the Miami Herald. That was a good column, Fred.
Oh, I forgot. What did I write about?
You wrote about wines that were $10 or less those going through all the financial stuff.
All right. So, well, anyway, it's been a really interesting week. Dr. Arthur Agaston, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
His latest book is The South Beach Diet Gluten Solution. It's an important look at gluten intolerance, and it'll give you an idea if you're not celiac, but you don't know if you're gluten sensitive or how much, or you should be gluten aware, and it gives you a lot of good ideas. It also has recipes at the back.
You know, with that tuna you made today, Linda, you seem to be using a lot of jams.
Just a little bit to put it together. And it tastes good, too.
It's a little sweet.
And it's gluten-free, no doubt.
And it's gluten-free.
And that's what it is.
What do we have next week?
Okay. And next week, we're going to be celebrating Halloween. And we've got the gold medal skating champion who turned chef coming on. His name is Brian Boitano is what his name is.
Will you come in with your cauldron,
I was going to ask you, Joe, what your costume's going to be. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.